This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone is Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Randy, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Thank you, Kyle. It's good to be here.
When we get together, we hear archives from the Pryor Center. They've been digitized. Originally, they were part of KATV's newscasts, and they're being digitized through a gift from the Tyson Family Foundation. What have you brought us?
Barbara Tyson.
And Barbara Tyson, thank you. What have you brought me this week?
Well, we talked about occasionally doing just like a time capsule, and some of this film that's been digitized, it's been digitized by month, and I dipped into the archives and found a batch of news footage from May of 1969, which was quite an interesting time in history. How old were you then?
May 1969, I would have been six, just finishing up first grade at Midway Elementary School.
Well, I was 10.
Okay.
If you think about it, in May, you're looking at the summer of 69, ahead to that, and, you know, man, walk on the moon, Woodstock, civil rights, and, you know, you're in the midst of the Vietnam War and protests. So there's quite a bit of that related to Arkansas, and thought we might be able to play some of the audio clips from the archives time.
So these were all part of newscasts in May of 1969.
Yes.
And we start, you mentioned the Vietnam War, of course, which was a major story at that point. And we start with one of Arkansas's most famous politicians discussing the war.
Well, and he was a major, major opponent early on of the Vietnam War, and he talks about the cost of war on more than one level.
This is Senator Fulbright.
Not as to what he says, it's 3 months, I don't see much movement, particularly with regard to settling the war. The war dominates so much of our activities because it takes all the money. And the things that we need to do in Arkansas and all over the country on all kinds of activities in our resource development, in roads, et cetera, you know what they are, schools. This is such a drain on the country that it leaves little left. I would hope he would make some greater progress towards settling the war. He still talks very well. I mean, he hasn't reversed himself in this regard. He says he wishes to. I would hope that he would do something or move. It would give us some feeling that there is a movement towards settling of the war. And then we could move on to doing a lot of other things, which he says he's for and I'm for. Now, I don't complain too much other than the delay in it. We're losing between 200 and 300 young men a week dead, 1,000 or 2,000 wounded, spending all our money. And for what? What's the purpose of it? It seems to me an intolerable situation. Nobody expects him to escalate the war. So there, you have a feeling that this is going on just for utterly no purpose.
And the he is talking about there is President Richard Nixon, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, this next archive that you brought us, also a very famous Arkansas politician, also talking about a side story to the Vietnam War, and that's protests on college campuses.
Well, and it was mainly East Coast and West Coast, not as much in Arkansas, but there was what was termed at the time as campus unrest. And, of course, the Congress got involved, and there were higher education amendments introduced where they wanted to sort of squash the unrest and protests and any law breaking that might be taking place on the country's college campuses. And they actually were introducing legislation to limit or remove federal financial aid funds to anyone who was causing problems and breaking the law.
Federal legislation may be needed. I'm very thankful we don't have this problem down home. I might comment that I think the reason for that is I think we have schools, some down-to-earth schools. Now, I wouldn't want to particularly single out any one, but where the teachers and the students relate to what their business is all about them getting an education and about them going out in the world to make a living. Now, I noticed that most of this unrest, as I see it, has been around a lot of coastal schools and particularly in colleges that are not work-oriented, but liberal arts colleges that have some far-out ivory tower ideas, and they may be fine. But to get to your question, I think, yes, maybe legislation is needed. There's been some bills introduced. There's been a bill introduced in the House that says if school officials don't act forthwith on this problem, then federal aid money can be cut off if they have a problem in their school. I haven't joined into that bill because I have great confidence in our own administrators down in Arkansas. And I thought it might have been an insult to them for me to enter into any such legislation. But if it's for the good of the nation, I'm sure that I would support this kind of legislation.
It's Republican Congressman John Paul Hammerschmidt saying he's happy there weren't protests down home.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, Senator Fulbright was in office in 1969. Congressman Hammerschmidt was in office in 1969. Orville Faubus was not in office, but he made the news. Why?
Well, he after he left office, and we've done an episode on this, Dogpatch USA, he became the general manager. So he was still making the rounds, talking to civic groups, and promoting Dogpatch USA. And he was asked at one of the functions about running for office again.
I have no plans on politics at the present time because I've got a job right now that appears to be almost as complex and with activities as diversified as when I was chief executive. And I never took a job for anyone in my life, whether it was picking strawberries in the old days or KP in the Army. But I tried to do a good job for my employer, so I'm not going to let anything detract in any way from my doing a good job for the stockholders who agreed to employ me.
Former Governor Orville Faubus, who would, in fact, not leave the public eye for some time.
Well, and he did run several more times unsuccessfully for governor over the years.
You had also mentioned civil rights taking a big part of the news budget in May 1969. And you have a cut here with then NAACP President Jerry Jewell.
Yes, and believe it or not, Black history was not being taught in public schools, and he was urging the addition of that in the curriculum.
I'm not certain if it has been a case of reluctancy on the part of school boards to institute Negro, should we say, Black history or Black culture in the schools. I think really it's a matter of inadequate education, perhaps misinformation on the part of those persons who would be responsible for inclusion of Black history or Black culture in the school system. I would think perhaps with constant request, constant approach, constant pressure, if I may use the word, on the part of those persons who are most interested in this, meaning the Black community, that the school boards would respond and respond positively, I hope.
Dr. Jewell, would you favor a demonstration on the part of a school that flatly refused to institute Negro history courses?
Well, as you know, I'm one of the original, in a sense, although I'm still a young man, at least I think I am, when it comes to demonstration. It is one of the best ways by which you can attain the goals desired in the shortest length of time. But I would think that in 1969, that these school boards would not necessarily need demonstrations, or that we would not have to resort to this sort of tactic in order to get the inclusion of Black history in the school system.
This next cut is going to sound like, I don't know, May 1929, because gambling,
yes, exactly.
Gambling in Hot Springs. I mean, of course it was still an issue in 1969, but that does sound like a relic of decades earlier to me.
That's true, and I had never heard of this gentleman that we're about to hear from. He was Circuit Judge Henry Britt of Hot Springs. He had run for governor against Faubus, had lost, but he was made circuit judge, and he is credited And this is 1969, and there was still gambling going on. But he and several others in Garland County were credited with pretty much eliminating gambling.
I don't believe that we'll ever see broad or wide-scale unlawful activities here again. At least I hope not. And I would hope that those who are charged with law enforcement responsibilities would recognize what the public thinking is. I run, you might say, a constant survey of the way people feel. And I think that we must be responsive to the public interest and to the public desires.
And we should explain for non-native Arkansans, yes, there is gambling in Hot Springs now. They're the track, of course, Oaklawn and Casino. But the gambling that was so controversial for so many years was, you know, wink, wink, under the table casino-style gambling.
Right, backroom slot machines,
right.
Card games, that sort of thing. And a lot of money passed under the table.
Yes, it did. Of course, more than 50 years ago, when you're thinking about Arkansas, a lot of things have happened between then and now, and some of them are institutions that it's hard to believe didn't exist at one point. And I'm sure that people in Central Arkansas have to really think hard about Baptist Hospital not yet being an entity.
Right, and which is now a major part in Central Arkansas and statewide, the Baptist system as a whole in the state. But Stevens, Inc., Whit Stevens and Jack Stevens, financial giants in Central Arkansas, were instrumental in the development and the construction of Baptist Hospital.
We, like building a building or doing anything else, it's so important to have a good foundation. And we had this and have it in the Baptist Hospital. John Galbraith, the board of directors, Brick Lau, Frank Lyons, and all the other people that worked in this campaign have worked hard sincerely. And one good thing about it, we have never had to explain why we were doing it, because everybody in this community and in the state know that we need this hospital.
Ms. Whit Stevens. So the Stevens were financially well-situated even 50 years ago?
Right, and here's a kind of a funny story. We interviewed for the Pryor Center, one of our Pryor Center interviews, Arkansas Memories, Harry Ward, who was the chancellor of UAMS, and he tells a story about a meeting with Jack Stevens, and he's wanting to build a cancer center, and they're talking about how many floors it should be, and he asked Jack Stevens, or Jack Stevens asked him, well, how much would it cost if it was 12 floors? Mm-hmm. And Harry Ward said, just off the top of his head, said, well, you know, I think it'd be about $45 million. And so Jack rang his assistant in the next room and said, could you write a check for $45 million to Dr. Ward? Just like that.
If all fundraising for nonprofits could be like that, right, Randy?
Well, he did say it was the easiest and largest gift he'd ever received.
As for a great cause, of course, too. Well, you know, Randy, upon further review, May 1969, at least to my ears after hearing this, doesn't sound irrelevant at all.
No, not at all. It was very interesting to sort of dig in and see what all happened that month.
Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Go to a search engine, put in Pryor Center, and then block out a few hours to just have fun going through archives and stories. Randy, as always, thank you for your time.
Thank you. See you next week.